but that's the old me. Out in, out of my window, throw down. 'Cause I don't care anymore, said I don't care.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. Hope you're having a great day today, whether you're listening live here on Saturday afternoon on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620, or you're listening to the podcast version of this show, which you can listen to anytime, any place, anywhere, anyhow, anywho, however you want to listen. You can do that on demand with the podcast version of the show, anywhere you get your podcasts. Either way, we're going to try to make your day a little bit better by bringing you up to date on everything going on in entertainment and pop culture. Joining me to do so, as he does so very often, is my co-host, Jeremy Branch.
Reporting for duty and ready to rock!
I have no idea what you just said.
Reporting for duty and ready to rock.
Okay. All right, that's fair. I think I get where you were going with this, in that we're going to talk today about, we just had the, maybe about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, had the announcement of the inductees for the 2026 class for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which will be presented at a ceremony, I think, in
Bohemian Grove.
Later in the year, at any rate. I can't remember exactly when that is aired. I'm trying to just look real quickly and see if I see it, but I don't see it.
Anyway, that you're enthusiastic about while you're checking that out, and I'm always looking forward to talking about it because I get to learn a whole lot about music as a byproduct of it.
Yeah, I mean, you can kind of start with, okay, here we go. The ceremony will take place on November 14th, the Peacock Theater in Los Angeles this year, and then it will debut in December on ABC and Disney Plus. So I guess they're not going to carry it live this year. I want to say Disney Plus has carried it live the last couple of years, but maybe they're not going to do that this year. At any rate, you can kind of start with the whole eternal argument about the legitimacy of there even being a Hall of Fame. Like, there are some people that feel like the least rock and roll thing there can be is a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
And I'm pretty in that camp. However, it is cool to see legacy acts get a little bit of accolades, or like at least a reminder that they're out there.
And I think, you know, there's also the long-running debate of what constitutes rock and roll. And, you know, certainly this class this year is not going to necessarily settle anything on that. It's, in fact, maybe the most diverse class that we've ever had.
What are your feelings on that before we jump into it?
I think that's great, first of all. I think it's that everything influences all genres of music. And I kind of have gotten to the point where you can say Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is kind of a misnomer, and that really it's the popular music 1950 to present Hall of Fame.
Yes.
And that I think that's fine, but I think rock and roll was never just one thing. And I think rock and roll has always had other influences, and, you know, rock and roll didn't just spring up one day wholly formed from, you know, the brow of, I don't know, Elvis Presley or somebody.
I mean, we could go back to conversations about Muddy Waters or even before that. But like you said, music is something that is shared and built upon, and most of the foundations of rock and roll do trace back to black music. So to see a resurgence in hip hop acts, like we'll talk about, it's impossible to remove one from the other and to say that hip hop is not in some way rock and roll culturally, right?
Yeah, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I think that I like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as an institution, in that it is, and I'm going to actually read a little bit from the press release here, spotlights standout artists whose impact has left lasting mark on music and culture. And I think that from a historical standpoint, it makes sense for there to be an institution that remembers all of these artists, because some of these artists that have left a mark haven't necessarily left a mark in the public consciousness. I, you know, for a great example here, I would mention the Velvet Underground, who are members of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, who very famously, it has been said that the debut album, The Velvet Underground and Nico, sold like not a whole lot of copies. I mean, the running joke is it started, it sold 1,000 copies, but everybody that bought a copy went out and started a band.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it sold more than 1,000 copies, but you get the gist. You know, it's that kind of thing deserves its place of being remembered and enshrined. And you're not going to go turn on oldies radio right now and hear I'm Waiting for My Man or Sweet Jane or Rock and Roll or Heroin or, you know, any I'll Be Your Mirror, Femme Fatale. Yeah, I can sit here and name Velvet Underground songs all day because I'm a fan. But the majority of the people walking the street out there probably haven't heard the Velvet Underground, but they've probably heard a heck of a lot of artists that worship the Velvet Underground. And
the challenging flip side of this is that while they are able to honor so many of those artists, there are so many others that are kind of left on the waiting list.
Yeah, I mean, there's always, you know, as you say, a waiting list. I always do this thing every year because this is something that I love to discuss and something that I will love to debate, where every year after they announce the induction class, I do a couple of social media posts that basically revise the list that I have had running for several years. And one is a list of 30 artists who've never been nominated that are long overdue for being in the hall, much less nominated. And then the other is a list of 20 artists who have been nominated before but haven't been inducted yet and should be.
So just generally speaking, how many of those over the years have been replaced by others because they actually made it in?
A number. And in fact, we had at least four this year that had been on my they all happened to have been ones that were previously nominated. So they came off the previously nominated list this year and were added to
they're
added to the hall. So they're off my previous nomination list. So I moved over some people that had been nominated that hadn't made it yet. And then I had somebody that I think I had just won this year that had been on my never nominated list, which was NXS, who got nominated and did not get in this year, which is still
great, great band
and ridiculous that they're not in there. Just absolutely ridiculous. It's hard for me to argue against the class this year, though. The class this year, I think, is one of the strongest ones maybe we've ever had. Like it's real hard for me to disagree with anybody that got in this year. I have a couple that I might pick a nit here or two with, but like I can't say none of them belong, and I can't say that I don't understand why any of them are there.
Before we jump into this year's nominees, is there anybody from last year that made it off your list as a result of being inducted?
I'd have to go back and double check. I think so. I do remember last year's class as being kind of a weak class.
You did get Cyndi Lauper, I remember.
Yeah, Cyndi Lauper was one, and Cyndi Lauper was one on my list of hadn't been nominated, should have been in already. So. Or she might have been, I don't remember if she had been nominated. She was on one of my lists for sure.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Outcast, I think, was on one of my lists too. I'm looking real quick to see who else was on the 2025 list.
I was very happy to see Outcast get nominated.
Yeah, to give you a better answer to your question.
I do think the performances were a little middling, but I think that is also kind of typical of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You want to hear the best versions of all of these acts. However, due to the nature of the thing, many of them are very past that stage in their lives, and Andre didn't even perform with Outkast. However, very, very influential group.
So 2025, I want to say I definitely had the White Stripes on a list in the past. I had Warren Zevon, who didn't get in as a performer, but got in one of the, you know, nomination categories. Outkast, Soundgarden, Cyndi Lauper, I think Chubby Checker too. We're way over. I got to take a break. We'll be back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
sister, Superman. Alien sister, who's the one you want? Alien sister, shotgun. It's a nice day to start again. It's a nice day for a white wedding. It's a nice day to start again.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. My co-host, Jeremy Branch, is on the line with us. And Jeremy, it is a nice day to discuss the 2026 inductees to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And that is one of them right there. Billy Idol, long overdue in my book. And I'm especially pleased with this induction because it does not only include Billy himself, but it includes his longtime guitarist, Steve Stevens. Probably one of the greatest guitarists of the last 40 years or so. So that's one I'm very personally excited for. Are you a Billy Idol fan?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Billy Idol is such a character. And one of my favorite anecdotes, and then we'll move on, is that he said that he used crack cocaine to get off heroin, and then that the crack was easy to get off of. And I think he's probably the only person in the world to ever make that statement.
That, I mean, you know, different strokes for different folks, I guess, you know.
I guess.
He's still alive.
There
is a documentary out that just came out late last year called Billy Idol Should Be Dead.
That's the one.
Yeah, so which I haven't seen yet, but I've heard is fantastic, and I'd really like to see it. I am a big Billy Idol fan, going all the way back to, you know, his previous band before he went solo, Generation X. I think he is absolutely an icon. There is a look and an attitude that just immediately comes to mind when you think of Billy Idol.
Over and about,
yeah, you know, you could put the, and you know, it's just watching the White Wedding video as I was playing that song to you and realizing, God, this was such a moment in time in so many ways. It's such a throwback to the way, you know, music video used to be. But yet the music itself, I think, is pretty timeless. Like those songs, White Wedding, Rebel Yell, Eyes Without a Face, like all those like early to mid 80s, Dancing with Myself, they still sound timeless, man.
Yeah.
Like you can maybe knock some of his later stuff when you get into like the early 90s as maybe not standing up, but that's the stuff that he put out in the 80s still sounds brand new. It's, I always think of, I don't know if you're a fan of the band Against Me. Are you familiar with them?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
oh,
so
yeah.
They have a song that is called, oh, gosh, what is the name of the song? Anyways, there's a song where the song is about, you know, this girl that has kind of maybe stayed around the clubs too long and is now well into her, you know, middle age. And thinks that she should still be like the it girl and really isn't.
Is it Cavalier something? Cavalier Eternal?
No, it's one of the songs on the new the album New Wave. And it's not the
Unreal.
Thrash Unreal. That is the song. Thank you. But there is a line in that song where, you know, talking about from the girl's perspective, and the line is, she can still hear that rebel yell just the same as it was back in 1983.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, yeah, but rebel yell still sounds as good now as it did in 1983.
It is a incredible song.
Yeah. It really is impressive. I mean, you know, and Billy Idol has continued to tour. He continues to put out new albums. I believe he has a new one out this year. He does a radio show on Sirius XM's First Wave, which is really good. And gets into a lot of not just music history, but a lot of personal history and a lot of anecdotes. And it brings on a lot of other artists and talks about, you know, shared history and stuff like that. And this is a guy that epitomizes rock and roll. Like, no matter what style of music he plays, and it is a punk influenced new wave rock and roll kind of sound in general.
Yeah, Dancing but, with Myself almost sounds like a Ramones song.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I mean, and you know, he came out of the punk scene that spawned, you know, the Sex Pistols and so many of these other bands. He was part of the famous Bromley contingent, which were like kind of the Sex Pistols' first like followers. Yeah, the people that went on the Bill Grundy show with them when that caused all the... They were part of the scene, basically, when the scene started. And, you know, all of those people formed their own bands. And Billy Idol formed Generation X with Brian James and a couple of other people. And, you know, Generation X was more of a straight-ahead punk band than Billy's solo material. Although Dancing With Myself did start as a Generation X song. So
that makes sense. I need to check them out. I've never actually heard the band, and now I am going to definitely go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah. So, you know, Billy Idol and Bill, we should say, got in the performer category. So there's several different categories to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and the one everybody kind of focuses on is the performer category. That's the one where they release all the nominations. They release a long list of nominations, somewhere around 15, 16, 17 acts. And those are the ones that the fans get to vote on. And this is where I want to address a little confusion too, because for the third time this year, the winner of the fan vote did not get inducted into the Hall of Fame. And people don't understand how that happens. And that's because the Hall of Fame is not decided by the fans. There is a fan vote, and fans can go vote as many times. I think they can vote once a day, and as many people can vote as many times as they want to vote. During the period where they take the voting. Once they get to the end of that period, they tally all of those votes. The top five vote getters are submitted as one ballot for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So all the sum total of the fan vote makes up one ballot. Then there are a few hundred other ballots that are the voting members of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which is made up of musicians, it's made up of music industry executives, it's made up of journalists, people that have had an influence on music, with some of whom are members already, some of whom aren't. But so there is a board or a membership that votes on this. The fans count as one member of that. The entire summation of the fans count as one member of that group. So
yeah, it sounds like a great way to drive engagement.
So you may have, as you did this year, a group like New Edition win the fan vote. New Edition did win the fan vote this year. That may be the only vote that we got. They got. We don't know.
Right.
Because it's a secret ballot. What we do know is that they didn't get, the requirement is you get at least 50% yes votes. So you get this list of nominees and everybody votes yes or no on each nominee. We don't know how many votes, how many yes votes they got. We just know it was less than 50%.
Right.
So everybody that didn't get in this year just got less than 50% of the yes votes. I don't know that there's any restriction on how many yes votes you can give. I don't know if it's what stops anybody from just going through and saying yes to the entire slate. I'm assuming there must be. Because I am assuming that's how some of these bands get nominated over and over and over again, and it takes forever to get them in. We had a couple of those this year. Billy Idol had been nominated before. He just finally got in. There's a couple others this year that we'll talk about that got in on second, third, fourth vote, fourth time being nominated through and finally making it through. So they don't immediately become ineligible, and as I pointed out to somebody that was complaining about New Edition this year, they can still be nominated again. They can still get in again. And the proof of that is the first time Dave Matthews Band was nominated, they won the fan vote, did not get in, but they did eventually get in.
Another well-deserved entry.
Yeah. The second one that was nominated, won the fan vote and hasn't gotten in yet is Phish.
Okay. They got Dave Matthews Band. So that's good enough.
Yeah. They,
all these weeks to calm down.
I mean, some people would say they've got the Grateful Dead and that's good enough.
Yeah.
Whether you personally like the band or not, whatever. I mean, there's lots of people that I can say deserve to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, even though I'm not particularly a fan. Grateful Dead's a great example of that. I'm not particularly a Dead fan, but like, I can't argue against the Grateful Dead being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
No.
We talked about Soundgarden getting inducted last year. I've never been in particular a fan of Soundgarden. They've got a couple of songs I like well enough, but I could take them or leave them. But like, do they belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Of course they do.
Yeah, they're like, one of my favorites.
It would be stupid to claim otherwise. You know, another great example that we'll just get into the next one that that made it in as a performer this year, Phil Collins. I mean,
yeah.
Hugely popular and influential artist. Ironically, first time he's ever been nominated, which he's been, you know, he's been eligible for, you know, your eligibility comes into play 25 years after your first recording. So this is as a solo artist. So I want to say his first solo album came out definitely early 80s, might have been 80, 81. Mm-hmm. So he's been eligible for a while. And they only just put him in. But they did get him in there on the first ballot that he was eligible. Now, that being said, he's already a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a member of Genesis.
I was curious about that.
So
yeah.
You do have that, you know, thing where you can be in with, you know, if you were in more than one band, or if you were in a band and you were a solo artist, you can be in for both careers, that kind of thing. So Phil
Does
was
that mean Peter Gabriel is also in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with Genesis?
Yes. Peter Gabriel okay. is in both with Genesis and as a solo artist.
Cool.
So you know, Phil Collins, somebody again, probably way overdue. I would not say I'm a fan of everything the man ever did. I would say that being said, he belongs in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame on the basis of In the Air Tonight alone.
If his top 10% of his catalog is being considered, I think Phil Collins has some of the best written stuff of all time.
Well, and again, you know, you can gauge what an influential artist he is by the number of covers that have been done. And the number of times Phil Collins is one of the most sampled artists by hip hop artists, period.
Yeah.
Which is crazy if you think about it. Like, it doesn't seem like that would be music that hip hop heads would gravitate to, but it is. And, you know, so yeah, I mean, there's no real argument that he belongs there. Am I going to go out and get excited about, Two Hearts or something? No.
Right.
But, you know, does he belong? Absolutely. Got to take a break. Back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. My co-host, Jeremy Branch, is on the line with us, and we are talking about the recent announcement of the 2026 inductees to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and none more deserving or overdue than that one right there. That is Joy Division with Love Will Tear Us Apart, my favorite song of all time. Joy Division, New Order, inducted as one entry, which kind of makes sense and kind of doesn't. I recognize that New Order formed out of the ashes of Joy Division after Ian Curtis sadly took his own life way too soon. There's only one member in New Order who wasn't in Joy Division. There's only one member in Joy Division who wasn't in New Order. But they are kind of vastly different acts.
Yeah.
And I think they both stand on their own. They both merit. I'm not arguing with it because this induction gets both of them in, and they both should be in. Hugely influential acts. And, you know, I constantly have said this, that New Order in particular, like, everybody's kind of heard of this kind of like big four theory, like within various genres or scenes, there are kind of four big acts. And I think it kind of started with the big four of thrash, which is Metallica, Anthrax, Megadeth, and Slayer. Only one of those in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, by the way. And for me, there is a big four of British alternative, and that is The Cure, Depeche Mode, New Order, and The Smiths. With New Order finally getting in, that gives us three of the four now. The Smiths are still not in. That's a whole other story. Talk about that another time. I also think there's a big four of American alternative, only one of whom is in, which is REM. We're missing The Replacements. We're missing Husker Du. We're missing Sonic Youth. Pixies also come in there somewhere, but Pixies are a little later than those other acts. So while they're also long overdue for getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I don't necessarily include them in that, what I think of as the big four. What are your thoughts on Joy Division and New Order?
Joy Division is kind of like what you were talking about with Velvet Underground. Joy Division is your favorite band's favorite band. Mm-hmm. I think that their inclusion is long overdue. And while I'm not like super deep into their discography, they're a band that I really like their sound. I really like what they do. And I think that New Order is a band that I'm also a fan of, but I feel like doesn't quite have the cachet among musicians that Joy Division does. However,
I couldn't disagree with you.
It seems like a nice thing to include both of them considering the circumstance.
I couldn't disagree with you more, man. New Order is highly influential. There are so many acts that have followed. Just to take one off the top of my head. Do you know where the band The Killers got their name?
Sure.
It's from a fake band in a New Order video.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Bands like Churches, bands like Interpol. Interpol has a lot of Joy Division influence too, let's be honest.
I
mean, there are
start splitting hairs though, because of the overlap.
There are so many bands that follow, and so many, especially when you get into dance and electronic music, the influence of New Order is just incalculable. I think that you're talking about some incredible musicians. What I'm going to be interested to see, too, is whether there's a longstanding feud between Peter Hook, who was the original bass player in Joy Division and New Order, and who kind of split off from the rest of the band years ago. It's going to be interesting to see if they play nice.
What would that look like?
I would love to see them play together at the induction.
Oh, sure. Okay. Yeah.
They haven't played together in decades. I don't know if it'll happen.
They get the Eagles back together from time to time.
Yeah, but the Eagles suck.
Stop.
Anyway, that's my thing on that. Just to kind of go through, like I said, the performer category is the category most people think of first and foremost, because it is the one that like gets presented as the slate and the fans get to vote on them and all those kinds of things. So some of the other ones, just to go over like some of the other ones, there were three this year that I felt were nominated before, hadn't gotten in yet, were long overdue. So there were three this year that got in that I felt had been nominated before, were long overdue. We talked about Billy Idol already. We talked about Joy Division and New Order. The third one is Iron Maiden. I mean, if there is a band that typifies certainly the new wave of British metal and really metal in general, like, is there a more metal band than you can think of than Iron Maiden?
No, I mean, absolutely.
Just the iconography that's been built up around the band with their legendary mascot character, Eddie, and just the incredible songs they've done and how literary. I mean, that's the thing I think that people miss out about Iron Maiden is how literary they are. You know, they take a lot of, you know, songs like Rime of the Ancient Mariner is a great example. It's based on the epic poem by Samuel Coleridge. They take a lot of literary inspiration in the stories that they tell in their songs. Just incredible musicians and long overdue. And also a band that kind of doesn't really give any cares is the word I'll use, to the extent that they've already said they're not coming. Like, they're going to have this induction ceremony and they're going to induct Iron Maiden, but Iron Maiden's not going to be there, because they're on tour in Australia and they're not going to cancel the dates.
It's pretty rock and roll.
Yeah, I mean, they're putting the fans first, which is pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, more power to them. I'm glad that they're finally in.
It would just be a shame to have tickets to see Iron Maiden and then be like, actually, they're canceling to go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony.
You know, I feel like as a fan, I would understand it. You know, I mean, like, I wouldn't like it, but I'd understand it. Like, as long as they rescheduled and honored the date, I'd be cool with it.
Yeah.
But that's it. So speaking of, this is the one that I'm the iffiest on, personally.
Ooh.
And it's not that I don't think that they belong. I will grudgingly admit that they belong. I just think that there are more important acts. There are more important acts within their genre that aren't in yet. And that's Oasis.
Yeah. Yeah. You got strong feelings about Oasis that I actually was able to break down out of you a couple of weeks ago. So talk to me about where you're currently at with Oasis.
So like, I get it. Like I get that they were a huge band, especially in the UK and Europe. Although I think that their stature has grown over the years in stateside as well. I do think they're highly derivative of a lot that came before them. I don't think that necessarily mm-hmm. is a reason to exclude them. I just think if you are looking at the raw talent that comes out of the Britpop era, of which they are inextricably linked with, there is more raw talent out there and more bands that I think are more important bands than Oasis. And maybe they aren't bands that had the popularity that Oasis has had, but I think that that's a very Amero-centric point of view too, because I think if you remember back to the Britpop era, it was constantly played up in the press and the media as Oasis versus Blur.
Mm-hmm.
Blur were just as big, if not bigger, than Oasis throughout Europe. Oasis got a little bigger in the States than Blur did, although Blur had some hits stateside too. I think Damon Albarn is more talented than both the Gallagher brothers put together. And I'm
following you. Go ahead.
I just think that the fact that Blur is not in an Oasis is kind of an injustice. I think the fact that the Gallagher brothers are in and Damon Albarn isn't is kind of an injustice. I do think Damon Albarn will get in eventually. I'm not sure if Blur will. I kind of am at the point where I'm wondering if Gorillaz doesn't get inducted before Blur.
That would be a very Amero-centric take on things because, like you said, I think Blur was huge in the UK. You know, I remember somebody saying you play 30 chords for 100 for one person or one or what is it? Four chords for 1,000 people or 1,000 chords for four people? Something like that. Where like I think rock and roll and music in general is one of those things that is so subjective that there's very little correlation between raw talent and zeitgeist.
I get it. And I'm not excluding Oasis. Like I get why they're there. Like I'm not saying they don't belong. I'm really not. And there are like some songs of theirs that I begrudgingly like. I just think, I just think Blur and Elastica and Pulp and Lush are all more deserving. Even though Elastica only put out two albums.
We were texting the other day and I was like, this is a pretty good song. And you're like, yeah, and there's that one. And I was like, yeah, this one's pretty good too. And we did that about 10 times.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's my little soapbox on Oasis. Like, you know, good on them. I just feel like there's some, I think NXS, you know, we talked about NXS not getting in this year. NXS belonged before Oasis did. Nothing to do with Britpop genre, just in general, the hierarchy that, you know, I would have rather seen NXS get in. Got to take a break. We'll be back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
If I tell you
Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. Got my co-host, Jeremy Branch, on the line with us, and we are talking about the inductees for 2026 to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. There is a first ballot inductee this year, Sade.
Oh, man. Love Sade.
Actually, I pulled up the wrong track. In my head, I meant to play Smooth Operator.
Another good one.
Sweetest Taboo is great, too.
King of Sorrow is the best.
Yeah, this is one where I can, where you get into the debates of, is that rock and roll? And my answer is yes. Like, Sade is massive. Sade performed it live. And Sade, I want to point out, too, their name for the singer, but it is a band. So this is a band induction. Her full name is Helen Fauchardé Ardu, if I'm remembering correct. And I think people think of her, but there, Sade is a band, kind of like Blondie in that regard. But no, I mean, those records, and there's unfortunately not more of those records. I wish there were. It's been some time since Sade has put out a record, but so many diverse influences, but that voice, she's just incredible.
Oh, incredible.
And the band
is
incredible.
One of the few like lounge jazz musician acts that actually did break through. I know it's R&B, but it also has really loungy elements to it.
And came out of like the post-punk new wave scene. Like this, you know, this is not like these guys were not jazz heads that were, you know, playing in smoky little jazz clubs. They came out of the same post-punk scene that, you know, New Order and Billy Idol came out of. And I think
is that right?
And I think that's in there. I think that's in the mix. And, you know, I think they have that same kind of credibility that I think definitely merits them being included in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
And then, like, when you think about acts like Outkast, who literally name-check Sade and their music, it just shows the way that these genres all do overlap and cross into each other.
Yeah, very pleased to see that one. Also very pleased to see Luther Vandross, who is one of the greatest R&B voices of all time, without
a
doubt. And somebody that I like more respect than like, I think would be fair to say. Like, I don't go out and listen to a lot of Luther's stuff, although I definitely respect it. But you know who else respected Luther Vandross a lot?
Not.
Yeah, but you know who else?
Who else?
David Bowie.
Oh, I
like,
believe it.
To the extent that David Bowie's Young Americans album, Luther is all over that album. Luther sings backup on that album. Luther helped with all the orchestrations and the...
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Like Luther Vandross was a massive collaborator of David Bowie's. That alone, in my book, guy's gold. He belongs. But again, just such a hugely influential artist. And so well respected and so well loved. And while not everything he did was my cup of tea, it's unimpeachable. I mean,
like, yeah, I have a whole new perspective now that you told me that he collaborated with David Bowie.
Yeah. And then last and absolutely not least on the performer category for this year, a group that we all know ain't nothing to mess with. I'm choosing my words carefully here.
Uh-huh.
The Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to think of a whole lot of hip-hop acts that are more rock and roll than the Wu-Tang Clan.
I mean...
Like, you can make an argument
so
for Run
defining.
DMC. You can make an argument for Public Enemy. You ain't bringing me anybody else other than those two acts that are more rock and roll than Wu-Tang Clan. That comes out of hip-hop.
And... What a massive ensemble of talent that have all branched off and done their own stuff as well, including RZA's foray into filmmaking.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So very, very much well reserved on this. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I did vote in the fan vote. And I think that everybody I voted for, because you get to vote for seven when you vote for the fan vote. And I believe all seven of the ones I voted for this year got in.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, the one, we got eight inductees this year. I did not vote for Oasis, full disclosure. But the other seven, I believe, were the seven that got in, if I'm not mistaken. So I could not be more pleased with this class. I mean, I guess I could if we went through and like took people off my list, but that's out of the nominees, the right ones got in this year as far as I'm concerned. Want to move on quickly to the other categories because there are three other categories they induct people in that are not voted on by the full body of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, not voted on by the fans. They are put forward by committees, basically. So they have an Early Influence Award, a Musical Excellence Award, and the Ahmet Erdogan Award, which is meant to be for a non-musician who had an influence on music and culture. They've weirded that up, how they divide that up lately, because like the Ahmet Erdogan Award was won in the past by Quincy Jones, who is absolutely a musician. And is probably better known as a producer, but was absolutely a musician too. Absolutely played on some of the records he produced. But now they're putting producers in the musical excellence category, even if they aren't musicians. So at any rate, the Ahmet Erdogan Award this year went to Ed Sullivan, who of course had numerous, very influential acts on his TV show and exposed them to the world. Can't argue against that. There are lots of other people that I think are overdue for that award too, but Ed Sullivan's a very solid inductee. Musical excellence. Again, this is where I feel like maybe should have been the Ahmet Erdogan Award instead of the Musical Excellence Award, but have no argument against him being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Long overdue, Rick Rubin, one of the greatest music producers of all time, absolutely belongs in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Another producer that got in this category this year, Arif Martin, again, one of the most legendary producers in the history of music. And then songwriters Linda Creed and Jimmy Miller got in there as well. Awesome.
Love them.
And then the Early Influence Award. This used to really be like subject only to, when they said early influence, they were talking about like old blues artists like Lead Belly and Big Mama Thornton and the, you know, the ones that were like the progenitors. They've kind of changed this to be, they were early artists within their genre or within that went on to influence music in the rock and roll genre, even though they didn't, you know, they weren't around in the 30s or something.
Right.
You know, so when you hear what I'm going to say here, you'll, all of these artists absolutely belong. They're not anybody that goes back to, you know, the sharecropper era or anything like that.
Right. Right.
So Celia Cruz, legend of Latin music, Fela Kuti, the preeminent name in Afrobeat, which definitely has influenced everything from Paul Simon's Graceland on down, who has been nominated before but hasn't gotten in as a performer. Queen Latifah and MC Light, two of the earliest and most influential female MCs in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Really surprised but pleased to see MC Light get in there. Latifah does not surprise me because she's such a name, but nice to see in any event. We had Salt and Pepper get in this category last year too, by the way, in case you're wondering, speaking of female MCs that definitely belong. And then Graham Parsons, the last one, who is a absolutely pioneer of country rock. Somebody who, again, I've had on my should have been in a long time ago list for some time. So I was able to check that one off this year as well. So do you have any thoughts on any of these like non-performer categories, for lack of a better term?
What I tend to think about is where we are actually closer now to like the 1980s than in the, further now from when we were in the 70s, from when we were in the 80s to when we were in the 30s. Mm-hmm. That's just kind of crazy. So over the years, I'm sure these acts are going to get older and older. Seem more contemporary.
They've really used these categories in the last few years to catch up with a lot of people that should have been in. As performers that haven't gotten in as performers, we're talking about people like Warren Zevon and Kraftwerk and Judas Priest. A number of them have gotten in either influence under influence or musical excellence. Nile Rodgers, Jimmy Jam, and Terry Lewis, which, you know, I can make an argument for them being in with the time too. They're not, the time is not on my list, but maybe they should be. So, you know, I think, when you add those to the performer category this year, man, what a great list of inductees this year. I'm hard pressed to think in recent memory of them having done a better job with us. Like, there's nobody here that I have an argument against. Like, even like my biggest argument against is, well, you know, I might have liked to see a couple other bands get in before Oasis. Not that Oasis doesn't belong, but just that, personally, I would like to see, I could think of 25 bands I'd like to get in before Oasis did, but would I have eventually said that they should be there? Yeah.
Yeah, I think one of the highlight stories to me is Iron Maiden actually not going and not canceling their tour. I think that's fun and pretty rock and roll.
Yeah, and of course, not the first act that's done that. Chubby Checker did it last year after, you know, basically dying to get in this Hall of Fame for years and long, long overdue. Got in last year and had a gig that night. Didn't cancel it. So, you know, there's something to be said for that. It's also not quite the same as the, oh, we just are above this and we're not going to go.
Right.
Yeah, you know, so... you know, whatever. But anyway, good job this year, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Hope you continue to do as good a job, because there's a whole lot of other deserving artists out there that aren't in there yet. We got to go for this week. We'll be back next week. Until then, you're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.